This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. I welcome our dear brothers and sisters in al-Islam. I welcome the listeners of Radio Al-Ansar. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. Another beautiful Wednesday evening, walhamdulillah. And MashaAllah, for the past few days, we've had a bit of rain, walhamdulillah. But we continue in our dua. Allahumma aghithna, Allahumma aghithna, Allahumma aghithna. O Allah, send down upon us that rain. Brothers and sisters, bi'ithnillahi ta'ala, another one of our majalis of ilm, majalis of dhikr, majalis of the mention of the ahadith of the Rasul Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, our current series, going through the 40 ahadith of Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah. Brothers and sisters, mashaAllah, tabarakAllah, and we praise none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We've gone through the biography of that great scholar, of that imam, of that zahid, of that usuli, of that muhadith. We've also gone through the introduction to this book. We discussed the shuruhat, we discussed the explanations, we discussed works of the scholars related to this book, 40 ahadith of Imam An-Nawawi. Wherever you might go on the face of this earth, brothers and sisters, there's almost not a single masjid except that they have a copy of Riyad As-Salihin, or they have a copy of the 40 ahadith of Imam An-Nawawi, or Kitab Al-Adhkar, etc. As some scholars said, the most printed book amongst Muslims after the Noble Quran is which book? The book Riyad As-Salihin, Gardens of the Righteous, by this righteous scholar, Imam An-Nawawi, rahimahullah. Brothers and sisters, we have discussed the hadith Innama al-A'malu bin-Niyat. Then we moved on to the hadith of Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, and that's the hadith of Jibreel. What is Islam? What is Iman? What is Ihsan? Tell me, when is the hour? What are the signs of the hour? Subhanallah. And our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to every one of these questions, he gave the answers. What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam say at the end of that incident? Innahu Jibreel. Atakum yu'allimukum deenakum. That was Jibreel. He came to teach you people about your religion, subhanallah. Hadith number 3, the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar, listing the 5 pillars of al-Islam. Hadith number 4, brothers and sisters, that famous hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an, dealing with what? Dealing with the formation of the fetus in the womb of the mother. Dealing with the matters of qadr, subhanallah. Dealing with, do not be deceived by your actions, O brother, O sister. That maybe a person is a handspan away from Jannah, but they end up somewhere else. Maybe a person is a handspan away from Jahannam. Never, ever, ever lose hope, subhanallah. And maybe this person enters into Jannah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, we discussed hadith number 4 in great detail. And then we moved on to the hadith of our mother. My mother, your mother. Who's that mother? None other than Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Our mother, the al-mu'mineen, mother of the believers. What's that hadith? Man ahdatha fi amrina hadha ma laysa minhu fahuwa rad. Whoever innovates, whoever makes up, whoever comes with a bid'ah in this religion, in the religion of al-Islam, then his innovation is rejected back at him. And the riwayah of Sahih Muslim, man amila amana laysa alayhi amruna fahuwa rad. Whoever does an action which is not in accordance to our affair, not in accordance to the Sharia, then this person's action will be rejected back upon him. Subhanallah. Hadith number 5, brothers and sisters. And that's the hadith that we had began in our previous majlis. In our previous majlis, walhamdulillah, we went through the takhrij of this hadith. We saw that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, from her, Qasim ibn Muhammad narrates. From him, Ibrahim ibn Sa'id, his father narrates. And lastly, then it was Ibrahim ibn Sa'ad, rather, not Ibrahim ibn Sa'id, but rather Ibrahim ibn Sa'ad. We discussed the various wordings of this hadith. Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, he mentions one of the wordings, Man ahdatha fi deenina, whoever innovates in our deen, in the matters of this deen, then this innovation is rejected back upon that individual. We discussed the narrator, brothers and sisters, in very great detail. Who's the narrator? Our mother, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, Umm al-Mu'mineen, Umm Abdillah, Aisha bint Abi Bakr as-Siddiq. She's called as-Siddiqa bint as-Siddiq, subhanallah. The Siddiqa and the daughter of the Siddiq. We discussed where she was born, the time of her birth. We discussed her marriage to the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Certain incidents between herself, the relationship between herself and our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We spoke about her personality, very strong personality she had. We know that between her and Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, there were certain issues. We discussed the battle of Jamal, the battle of the camel. We also spoke about certain incidents where she had lost her necklace. There was the issue of the slander upon Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Slander of what? Accusation of what? Accusation of adultery, subhanallah. Allah musta'an. At-tahira, the pure one, she was accused of zina, accused of adultery. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down, revealed in the noble Quran, Surah An-Nur, her exoneration from this accusation. Brothers and sisters, something that stood out with regards to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was her knowledge. Imam al-Zuhri, what did he say? He said that if you collected the knowledge of Aisha and the other wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and if you compared both, her knowledge is better than the knowledge of the others. Ibn al-Qayyim puts her in the first tier, the first level of the fuqaha of the Sahaba, the jurists of the Sahaba. In fact, Ibn Hazm, he places her as the number one faqih of the Sahaba, faqiha of the Sahaba. Many traveled from great distances to study under her. She was a master in medicine, in shi'r, in poetry, Arabic language, in fiqh, in hadith, in tafsir. And she narrates how many ahadith from our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, 2,210. She is from the mukthirin fil hadith. She is from those who narrate the most number of ahadith. Wal mukthirun fi riwayat al athar Abu Huraira yalihi ibn Umar wa Anas wal Bahr kal Khudri wa Jabir wa zawjatun Nabi, as the poet he says, and he puts in two lines the seven most famous narrators of ahadith, those who narrate the most number of ahadith from our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We also touched upon factors that assisted her in this gathering of so much of knowledge. She was from the house of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mixing with Abu Bakr often. She was married to the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She was young. She was married at a very young age. When the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, brothers and sisters, what was Aisha's age? She was only 18 when he had passed away, subhanallah. Subhanallah. She was very intelligent. She lived a long life after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She passed away in Medina al-Munawwara. Many benefited from her knowledge. Sahaba, when they had issues, debates, etc., what do we do in this case? What's the ruling? Anyone knows a hadith? They would send somebody to ask Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. She passed away in Medina, and it was Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu who performed Salatul Janazah over her. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, very, very attentive, subhanallah. And we discussed that one mas'ala, the one incident when Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu entered into the room, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, slowly he covered up that knee or that thigh of his. She noticed, subhanallah. Later on, she asked, Ya Rasulullah, why did you do this? As opposed to when Abu Bakr and Umar entered, Prophet ﷺ said, should I not have modesty for man that even the angels have modesty for, subhanAllah. We also touched upon certain issues, certain rulings that she deferred with the rest of the Sahaba. She was on an opinion, and majority of the Sahaba were on the other side. Her ijtihad, her reasoning, and her deduction in these matters. For example, she was of the opinion that a female having these hair extensions for married women, that this was permissible if it was tahir, if it was its origin, if it was like synthetic hair, etc. For her husband, then this is something which is permissible between the wife to the husband. As opposed to majority of the Sahaba, they said, no, hair extensions, no matter what type, they are not allowed. She was also of the opinion that wiping over leather socks was makruh, standing and urinating, not allowed. She was of the opinion that there's no such thing as menses for less than 3 days, and there's no more than 10 days. 10 days, that's the max. She was of the opinion that there's no full intimacy with a female who is in istihaba, permissible to recite from the Quran while in nafil salah, and many other matters that we had gone through in our previous majlis, walhamdulillah. And so, brothers and sisters, we spent an entire hour discussing these matters. Bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, if you missed out on any of that, you can get the recordings inshallah from the radio station or from Muslim Central Audio, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. Brothers and sisters, we now move on to the importance of this hadith. The importance of this hadith. Whoever innovates in our deen, his innovation is rejected. Is this hadith important? Yes. Imam Ahmed says that this hadith is one of the three ahadith that the deen revolves around. Which are those three? Al-A'malu bin Niyya, intention, the hadith of intention. That's one third of Islam, one third of the religion. Whoever innovates in our deen, his innovations rejected. That's another third. And the halal is clear and the haram is clear. Bainahuma umurum mushtabihat. There are doubtful matters in between. That's the third. Imam Ahmed, brothers and sisters, Imam Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, what's he saying? Open your ears, listen, subhanAllah. What's he saying? He's saying that the usul of al-Islam, the foundational principles of al-Islam, this religion built upon these three ahadith. Ahadith of intention, hadith of the halal's clear, haram's clear, and doubtful matters, stay away from them, and the hadith of do not innovate in the deen. For if you innovate, your innovation will be rejected back at you. Imam al-Nawawi, what did he say? هذا الحديث مما ينبغي حفظه. This hadith should be memorized. And it should be used في إبطال المنكرات, in destroying منكرات, all types of evil. وإشاعة الاستدلال به. And we should spread the usage of this hadith mentioned in his Minhaj explanation of Sahih Muslim. Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali. So mashaAllah, Imam Ahmed. Then we had Imam al-Nawi, the great Shafi'i scholar. Now Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, Hanbali scholar, he states that this hadith is like the scale or the measure for outward actions. Your outward actions, this is the scale. As for the hadith, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ, that's like the scale or the measure for your inward actions, the matter of your heart. SubhanAllah. Imam al-Shatibi, he also mentions that this hadith like covers one third of al-Islam. We had also touched upon the works that the ulama have put together with regards to this topic. And no doubt, brothers and sisters, no doubt 100%, subhanAllah, this matter, this topic, the topic of innovation, the topic of bid'ah, can be a very, very sensitive topic, subhanAllah. Why? Because we have different people, different likes, different tastes. You have this individual of a certain tariqah, you have this individual of something else, you have different flavors. You have all types of flavors out there, subhanAllah. And so, as was mentioned in our previous majlis, we are trying to, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, look for that common denominator, inshallah, that common platform that maybe we all can agree upon. There's going to be matters that we will disagree. 100%, 100%. As for some of the works authored on this topic, we discussed some of the English works, some of the Arabic works, general works in Arabic. Then there's works related to Turuq, the matters which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left out. There's books of Qawa'id, the principles with regards to bid'ah. We had listed about 20 to 25 works. Some of them authored by scholars who aided, for example, the concept of bid'ah hasana, a good innovation. Works authored by scholars who said, no, there's no such thing as bid'ah hasana. So we have the different spectrums, people from different backgrounds, different sides of the spectrum here, and we had listed those works, walhamdulillah, and if you missed that, you can get it in the recording, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. We now move on, the fifth matter related to this hadith, insha'Allah. The general explanation of this hadith. The general explanation would be, any act not in accordance with the sharia, then it is rejected. Man ahdatha, who said? Salim said, Ilyas said, Saleh said, Fatima said, Sumayya said, Mawlana said, Sheikh said, Pir Sahib said, no! Our Rasul, our Habib, Mustafa, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he say? What did he say, Ya Akhi al-Kareem? Wa Ukhti al-Kareema? He said, as per the hadith, authentic hadith, narrated from his wife, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, man ahdatha, whoever comes with a hadith, whoever ahdatha ihdath, whoever innovates, makes up, comes with something new, in what? Fi amrina, in our affair. What affair? What's this affair? What's this matter? In our affair, affair here means in our deen, in our religion. As Ibn Rajab mentions the other riwaya, man ahdatha fi deenina, whoever innovates, makes up, comes with something new in our deen. So we're not talking about, mashallah, your fantastic vehicle. We're not talking about the new Parker pen you bought. We're not discussing the iPad or the hospital bed, etc. We are talking about matters in the deen. Excellent. So all of your technological advances, all of these other matters, whether it originated in the Gharb, in the West, or the East, or wherever it might be, that's outside the realm of this discussion. There's no issue with regards to those matters. Rather, this hadith, why did Imam Ahmed state that it's like one third of the deen? Why? Because it's the protection for the deen. Otherwise, everybody would make up whatever they wanted to make up, subhanAllah. Salim says, this udhiyah, subhanAllah, price of sheep now gone too expensive. This year I want to slaughter a rabbit. Slaughter a rabbit, mashallah. Let's slaughter a rabbit. Why not, subhanAllah? Jayid, tastes nice, mashallah. Slaughter a rabbit. Or for example, I will slaughter a horse. Mashallah, slaughter a horse. Jayid, where do we draw the line with regards to this? Ilyas says, brother, you know what? I take a train in the morning. By the time I reach work, it's a bit late, myself and a few brothers. So when we reach there at 8:30, you know, we'll be in a nice jama'ah instead of praying alone. Can we not make Salatul Fajr at 8:30? We'll have a greater jama'ah. Where do we draw the line, subhanAllah? And then you have Sumayya, she comes along and she says, you know what, myself and a few friends, we felt that, you know what, we will gather and Salatul Isha, we really love Salatul Isha, mashallah. We want to make it now 6 rak'ahs. We want to add 2 more rak'ahs into the matter, subhanAllah. Where do we draw the line with regards? Everybody agrees that these matters we cannot accept. We can never accept this, subhanAllah. Somebody else comes along. He says, you know what? You guys are too text-orientated. You are what? Text-orientated. You are forgetting the context. And he says, well, you see, polygyny, there was a context for this. You see the beard, there was a context for this. There was hijab, there was a context for this. Stoning of the adulterer, etc., there was a context for this. Salatul Taraweeh, there was a context for this matter. That context does not apply today, in his opinion. Jihad, there was a context for this. And that context ended 1,000 years ago. And so today, life is different, world is different. That doesn't really apply today. 3/4 of the sunnah gone down the drain. Why? Because he used the card of context. We acknowledge context, no doubt, subhanAllah. But when you take the context and you want to destroy the text, then that is something which is unacceptable. So this man comes with this bid'ah. And every Tom, Dick, Harry, Sumayya, Saleh and Ilyas can make up whatever they want. And then we eventually become like certain religions where whatever you do, it's khair and barakah. Whatever you want, it's khair and barakah. As long as your heart is there, khair and barakah. There's nothing left of the deen, subhanAllah. This man, he's got a definition of the matter. This man, he's got another definition. Both of them following the same path, but each one doing something different. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, where's the deen after that? So brothers and sisters, fi amrina, in our affair, the affair of the deen. Ma laysa minhu, that which is not from it. It's not from the deen. Whoever innovates, makes up, comes with something new. Fi deenina, in our religion. Fi amrina, in our affair, the deen. Ma laysa minhu, that which is not from it. It does not fall. It's not from the deen. Nor does it fall under the principles of the deen. Fahuwa rad, it is rejected. What is the it here? The it here could mean that act of, that innovated act. That innovated act is rejected. It could also mean that person is rejected, that individual is rejected before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That individual, in terms of his hope of reward, that goes down the drain. There's no acceptance of that act. Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, the other narration, man amila amalan laysa alayhi amruna fahuwa rad, whoever does an act which is not in accordance with our sharia, not in accordance with our deen, then it is rejected. Why did Imam An-Nawawi bring this narration? Should he not have sufficed with the previous? Whoever innovates in our deen, then his innovation will be rejected. Why did Imam An-Nawawi come with the second narration, which mentions whoever does an act which is not in accordance with our affair? Because the second narration is much more general. Someone might say, well, you know what, this bid'ah that I'm doing here, I didn't really innovate it. Somebody else innovated it 100 years ago. I'm just a follower and I'm just doing it. So what are you going to say to him? If you bring to him the first hadith, our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, brother, whoever innovates, say, I did not innovate. This was already innovated, already made up by somebody else. So the second narration which mentions, whoever does an act which is not in accordance with our affair, as per Sahih Muslim, then his act will be rejected. So the second narration, much more general, includes the one who innovated and the one who came later on and followed. Brothers and sisters, when and why does bid'ah spread? And please, brothers and sisters, do not think of bid'ah in terms of something that maybe you heard somebody say, this is bid'ah or that's a bid'ah, etc. Think bigger than that. The first bid'ah to surface amongst the Muslims was what? Was the bid'ah of the Khawarij. Was the bid'ah of the Khawarij. You are no longer a Muslim. You have committed a sin. You spoke a lie last week, brother. You are not in sync with the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus you have sinned. And sinning takes you out of the fold of al-Islam. Khalas, you are gone. Allahumma musta'an. Allahumma musta'an. That was the first bid'ah. And then it continued up to the time that they spilt blood. They spilt the blood of Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. The man stabbing Ali. Subhanallah, why? He thinks that he is doing something good. He thinks that he is getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one that killed Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, what did he say? That I stabbed him 9 times, 3 times for Allah and 6 times for myself. The scholar responded and said, Bala, say absolutely not. La, rather, it was all 9 times for shaitan. Kam min muridin lil khair lam yusibhu. Ibn Mas'ud said, how many a person wants good, intends good, has a noble intention, but he does not get what he wants. Subhanallah, the man who killed Uthman, he thought that he was in jihad. He thought that he was doing Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar. The one who killed Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, he thought that what he was doing was Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar. And this man, Ali, is out of the fold of Islam and take him out. This was the first bid'ah in the deen. Then you had the Qadariya. Then you had the Jabariya. You had the Mu'tazila. You had the Jahmiya. And you had many others. Bi-Ithnillahi ta'ala, we take a short ad break, and when we return, we continue. And our sixth point on this hadith, why and when does bid'ah spread? السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم Your brother in Islam Bilal Ismail of the Al-Kawthar Institute and Imam Development Project حياكم الله We continue بإذن الله تعالى Before the ad break we had discussed matters pertaining to the fifth hadith in the 40 ahadith of Imam al-Nawawi and that's the hadith of Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha What did she narrate from the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam من أحدث في أمرنا هذا ما ليس منه فهو رد Whoever innovates in our affair, our deen, then his innovation is rejected back at him. And the riwayah of Sahih Muslim, من عمل عملا ليس عليه أمرنا فهو رد. Whoever does an act which is not in accordance with our legislation, our sharia, then this act will be rejected. And we stopped our discussion on point number six, and that being, when and why does bid'ah spread? Number one, bid'ah would spread when? When there's ignorance amongst the people. When there's ignorance amongst the people. When some would like to use their aql to legislate. Using the intellect to legislate. I think that this would be better. I think that if we do it this way here, this would make more sense. Udhiyah, after Salatul Eid? No. I think a better idea would be, I will slaughter the day before. And so, at least on the day of Eid, there's going to be less chaos at the slaughterhouse. Do it one day in advance. People are at Arafat. Oh, it's so difficult to get between Mina and Arafat on that day. Rather, I will go there. I will go there on the 8th, mashallah. Or rather, subhanallah, December, we have the holidays. So let us rather make this month of this Hajj during the time of December. In fact, we would spread it across the year, different times for different people. How many lives we would save? And then he comes to you with the ahadith. Whoever saves a life has saved this, whoever does this has saved people, etc. MashaAllah. Allah mentions in the Noble Quran, whoever saves one life, it's as if you saved the whole of mankind. He says, MashaAllah, look at this. Every 2 months we'll have a Hajj. Some for the people of Africa maybe in January, then the people of Asia in March, the people of the Americas in June. MashaAllah, we can work it according to the seasons. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, using your aql in the point of legislation, who made you the legislator? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the legislator. إِنِ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ The hukm is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what? أَحْكَمُ الْحَاكِمِينَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most just of the legislators. Number three, following desires. I like to do it this way. I love to do it this way. Or for example, no knowledge and blindly following others in certain matters. Following the unclear matters, the mutashabihat, those matters which are not clear cut. They are, there's a level of ambiguity in them and one's following in those matters. Using alternate methods as evidence. MashaAllah, I had this dream, subhanAllah. I had this dream that, this Ramadan, it's going to be very, very hot. And so fast has now been moved to December or moved to June, mashallah. Right? He's using that as his evidence. Not the Quran, not the Sunnah, not something that Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, etc. had mentioned. Not Qiyas, not Ijma, consensus, but rather, I had this dream. My heart told me that I should do it this way, etc., etc. Allah musta'an, using alternate methods as evidence. Extremes with regards to personalities, certain individuals, certain religions, they had turned the messenger into a god besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If there's a human being who is worshipped, subhanallah, you know, by millions and millions on the face of this earth. None other than who? None other than Isa alayhi salam. People have gone into extremes with regards to the personality of Isa alayhi salam. No doubt, he is from amongst the five best of the Anbiya. But subhanAllah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لا تطروني كما أطرت النصارى ابن مريم. Do not overdo it with me like people overdid it with regards to Isa ibn Maryam, until they said that he is an ilah, he is a god. Allahu musta'an, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Or they said he is ibnullah, the son of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu musta'an. Subhanaka, hada buhdanun azim. Other reasons for the spread of bid'ah, for example, the plots of the enemies. So the enemies, they want you to be in perpetual confusion. They want you to be fighting one another. They want the Muslims to be broken up into sects and into groups. And for as long as they continue fighting with one another, at least the enemy is safe. Allahu musta'an. Bid'ah also spreads when the following of the sunnah is weak, when there's not too much of emphasis given to following the sunnah. Every time the sunnah is killed, then the bid'ah rises. The more sunnah are killed, the more bid'ah come in its place. Allahu musta'an. It's like weeds. For as long as you look after the grass, then the weeds are not going to come in. But for as long as you disregard and don't take care of that grass, that lawn of yours, then you're going to find that the weeds are going to start creeping in. We also find that bid'ah spreads when the ulama are silent, or when the ulama also follow suit, or for example, when the rulers encourage certain types of bid'ah. For example, during the time of Imam Ahmed rahimahullah, so you had the rulers who were influenced by the Mu'tazila, and they made that the state doctrine. Imam Ahmed was severely tortured, So here when you have the hakim following and taking upon himself certain types of bid'ah, then he is the one in charge, and it follows down from there. Allahu musta'an. What are some of the negative effects of bid'ah? Let's see. Number one, this bid'ah, in reality, it is in competition with the deen. It dilutes the deen. Look at other religions. This one made up something. This one made up something. Look at the documentaries. What's the evidence for this? What's the history behind this? Somebody somewhere came up with this idea, and it became part and parcel of the religion. Allahu musta'an. Is that what the road that we want to go down? Absolutely not, ya akhil kareem. And no doubt, our deen is protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first one, negative effects of bid'ah. Remember, you have different types of bid'ah. You have minor bid'ah, you have major bid'ah. You have bid'ah which might take you out of the fold of al-Islam. You have bid'ah which does not. You have bid'ah which is done in private. You have bid'ah which is in public. You have all different levels, just like you have sin, minor sin, major sin, public sin, private sin, etc. Just like that, similarly with regards to bid'ah. The second point is that the one who comes up with this bid'ah, you know what, Salatul Fajr, two rak'ah is too difficult. You know, if we make it one rak'ah, at least we get the youngsters to come out, subhanAllah. The one who comes up with this bid'ah, etc., and spreads it, in reality, what you are doing is, you are attributing imperfection to our deen. It means you are saying that this deen has naqs. This deen has some deficiency in it. And technically, you are going against the verse of the noble Quran, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islama deena. Surah Ma'idah. Today I have perfected for you your religion and chosen for you Islam. Who said? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. But the one who comes along and he says, you know what, we can slaughter a horse for Udhiya. You know what, Arafat, let's make it in June. You know what, Ramadan, let's change it around. Let's fast from Zawah Until Salatul Asr time. You know what? Ramadan, it eats up too much of the public efficiency. It eats up too much of the revenue of the state. This year we're going to cancel Ramadan. We will defer it next year. We'll have two Ramadans, inshallah. MashaAllah, what a brilliant idea. The guy might say, SubhanAllah, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. What you are doing, brother, is that you are attributing deficiency to the deen, and Allah said that He has perfected the deen. So either you are right, or either Allah is right. Allahumma musta'an. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, or rather the companion said, مَا تَرَكَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ طَائِرًا يُقَلِّبُ جَنَاحَيْهِ فِي السَّمَاءِ إِلَّا ذَكَرَ لَنَا مِنْهُ عِلْمًا. Abu Dharr said that there's not a bird flying in the sky except that our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us knowledge with regards to it. Imagine, our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us how to go to the toilet, how to enter, how to wash, how many times to wash. Again, how to enter the toilet, what to say before you enter the toilet, how to wash yourself, how many times to wash yourself, to be careful not to spill and mess yourself, to then leave, how to leave, and what to say after you've left. SubhanAllah. Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with regards to the toilet, he has given us all of this info. So other matters, brother, if Salatul Fajr at 8 o'clock, if there was any good in that, our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have directed us to it. He is the merciful one, subhanAllah. Number 3, the one who comes up with this bid'ah, etc., whatever type it might be, it means that technically you are stating that our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has not fulfilled his mission. What was his mission? His mission was to pass on the deen. But it seems that you, Ahmed, Ilyas and Sumayya, it seems that you've got some of the deen in your pockets. Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not know about this, but you've come up with it, mashaAllah. Then this goes against what Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha told us. She said to Masruq that if anybody tells you that our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hid any type of knowledge, then this person is lying. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave everything. He was in Arafat. Hal balaght? Hal balaght? Hal balaght? Have I passed on the deen? Have I passed on the message? Allahumma shahad. O Allah, you be witness. O Allah, you be witness that I have passed on everything. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, as has been said by Imam Malik rahimahullah. It means the one who comes up with the bid'ah, with the innovation. It means that the early generation, the Sahaba, the Tabi'een, Atba' al-Tabi'een, those who loved the Rasul, those who were there during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they didn't know about this, they never heard about this, they never smelt this matter, never heard about this matter. But you know better? You know better, mashaAllah? 2015, you know better? They didn't know? Did they not love him more? Were they not greater followers of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Were they not further away from following their desires than yourself? Imam Malik, what did he say? مَنِ ابْتَدَعَ بِدْعَةً فِي الْإِسْلَامِ يَرَاهَا حَسَنًا فَقَدْ زَعْمَ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا خَانَ الرِّسَالَةِ. Whoever innovates in the deen and he thinks it's a good thing, then in reality this person has attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he has not completed his mission. He khana risala. He deceived in the passing on of the message. Allahumma musta'an. Number 5, the spread of the bid'ah kills the sunnah. It also causes division and strife. You know, amongst our community, so this individual is on a certain flavor, this individual is upon a certain tariqah, this individual is following a certain maslak, etc. And how many a times we judge one another? How many a times, you know, we at times look down upon the other based upon, you know, what grouping they are from, what type of mentality they have, what type of box they are coming from. We want to box everybody in some sort of box, brother. Don't just tell me you're a Muslim. What type, where can I box you in? Because if I can box you somewhere, then at least I know how to deal with you. But if I'm unable to box you, I'm just a Muslim. No, brother, what type of Muslim? From where? Who's your sheikh? What's this way? If I can box you up, makes my life easier. Allahumma musta'an. So, another effect of the bid'ah is that it causes division and strife amongst the Muslims. How many sects we've had from the beginning of time, Allahumma musta'an. Also, number 7, it's quite rare for a person of bid'ah to make tawbah. Why? Because this individual feels that what they're doing is right. The one who killed Uthman, he felt what he was doing was right. The one who killed Ali, after he was captured, what did he say? Don't cut my tongue, cut my legs, cut my hands, cut whatever. Don't cut my tongue. Why? I do not want a moment to pass, then I'm not in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the level of devil's deception. His intention, mashaAllah, he thinks he's doing amr bil ma'roof and nahi anil munkar. As has been said, the pathway to hell has been paved with good intentions at times. Allahumma sta'an. So very rare for a person of bid'ah to make tawbah. Why? Because he feels what he's doing is good. As opposed to the sinner, the one who fell into zina, dealt in riba, the one who stole, the one who lied. He knows this was a bad sin, this was bad. Make tawbah, he goes for hajj, he makes tawbah, etc. But the one involved in the bid'ah, rare for him to make tawbah because he doesn't feel that he's involved in something which is incorrect. Number 9, that this individual might be calling to this bid'ah and thus misguiding others. And if they follow in this wrong, then subhanAllah, he also earns the same sin that the followers get. They all go back to him because he introduced this matter. For example, like we had mentioned, somebody says that, you know what, we get off on Saturday and we get off on Sunday. And so the Salatul Jumu'ah, instead of Friday, it's difficult to take off from work, etc. We will now transfer Salatul Jumu'ah to Saturday afternoon. MashaAllah, you know, we have a great gathering. We'll get the Sheikh from the next town to come and give us a nice lecture. Can you do that? And if people follow him in this matter, he earns the sin of all the followers. The last 2 points before a short ad break. This man's actions will be rejected. The one who comes with this innovation, that innovation of his, whatever ta'ab and difficulty and he strove and struggled, etc. All of this will be rejected. Lastly, Yawm al-Qiyamah, the Kawthar, the pond of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we will be thirsty, we will all want to drink from it. And then certain individuals will come. Prophet ﷺ will say, yeah, you know, come my ummah. The angels will say, no, turn them away, turn them away. Prophet ﷺ will say, but they're from my ummah. You do not know what they did after you. You don't know what they had innovated, etc. after you, Allah musta'an. Brothers and sisters, we take a short ad break. Bi-iznillahi ta'ala, hayyakum Allah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. We continue bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, your brother in Islam Bilal Ismail of the Al-Kawthar Institute and Imam Development Project, currently discussing the 5th hadith from the 40 hadith of Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah. Brothers and sisters, we now move on to the next point, point number 8 related to this hadith insha'Allah. And that is from the Quran, the Sunnah, and maybe some of the statements of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, fi dham al-bid'ah, the dispraise of bid'ah, the looking down upon bid'ah, the warning against bid'ah. We find in the noble Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلَ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِ ذَلِكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ بِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in Surah An'am, verse number 153, that verily this is the sirat mustaqim. Wa anna hadha sirati mustaqima. This is the straight path. Fattabi'uhu, follow it. Wa la tattabi'u subul, and do not follow the other paths. Fatafarraqa bikum an sabili. It will split you up. It will take you away from this path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The path of Allah is one, and the others are parts which are away from the Sirat Mustaqim. Then we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also stating in the Noble Quran in Surah Ali Imran, verse number 105, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ تَفَرَّقُوا وَاخْتَلَفُوا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَهُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتِ. Don't be like the ones who split up and they deferred with one another. After the proof had come to them, after the revelation came to them, then they split up. وَأُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمَ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. For them is a great punishment. يَوْمَ تَبْيَضُّ وُجُوهُ وَتَسْوَدُّ وُجُوهُ. On the day when faces would be blackened. Subhanallah. Some faces would be white and some faces would be blackened. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ سْوَدَّتْ وُجُوهُهُمْ. And those whose faces would be blackened. أَكَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ فَذُوقُوا الْعَذَابَ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْفُرُونَ. You went to kufr after iman. وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ بِيَضَّتْ وُجُوهُهُمْ فَفِي رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. Those with white faces, they would be under the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Point to take note of, brothers and sisters, is that Ibn Abbas and others, they mentioned with regards to those whose faces would be whitened than those who are upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as for the ones whose faces would be darkened, then those are the faces of the ones who fell into bid'ah and balala. We find, for example, Ibn Abbas, he said, فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ بِيَضَّتْ وُجُوهُهُمْ فَأَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ وَأُولُو الْعِلْمِ. They are the people of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah and people of knowledge. وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ سُوَدَّتْ وُجُوهُهُمْ فَأَهْلُ الْبِدْعَةِ وَالضَّلَالِ. They are the people of bid'ah, innovation and misguidance. Allah musta'an. Allah also states, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. What the Prophet ﷺ gave you, stick to it. What he forbade you, stay away from it. You know what, brothers? You know what, sisters? Open up any book of hadith. Open up any book of hadith. The amount of sunnah that we have, if you try from today until the day you die, you most likely will not fulfill every single one of the sunnah. So where's their time to make up innovation, subhanAllah? Let's get busy with the sunnah. Allah also states, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُصْلِهِ جَهَنَّمْ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. Surah An-Nisa 115. وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولَ. Whoever goes against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, after the guidance has come to him, and he goes away from the sabil of the mu'mineen, goes away from the path of the believers, نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى. We leave him to go where he wants. وَنُسْلِهِ جَهَنَّمْ. For him is Jahannam. Allahu musta'an. From the ahadith of the Rasul Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and brothers and sisters, every time you hear the name of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, say sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, when he delivered that khutbah, what did he say? Amma ba'd, فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الْحَدِيثِ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ. The best speech is the book of Allah. وَخَيْرَ الْهَدِي هَدْيُ مُحَمَّدْ sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The best of guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In his khutbah he mentions this. وَشَرُّ الْأُمُورِ مُحْدَثَاتُهَا. And the worst of matters are the newly invented matters. وَكُلُّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ. And all innovations are misguidance. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the narration of Imam An-Nasa'i, wa kullu dalalatin fi an-nar, and every misguidance is in the fire. The famous hadith that we've been discussing, man ahdatha fi amrina hadha ma laysa minhu fa huwa radd. Whoever innovates in our deen, his innovation will be rejected back at him. The next hadith, Irbad ibn Sariya, usikum bi taqwallahi was-sam'i wat-ta'a. Prophet said, I advise you with regards to taqwa and obeying and obedience to the ruler. وَإِنْ كَانَ عَبْدًا حَبَشِيًّا. Even if he was an Abyssinian slave, فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعِشْ مِنْكُمْ فَسَيَرَ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Whoever lives, he will find great differences and differing and sectarianism amongst the people. فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّةِ. Hold on to my sunnah. وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ. And the sunnah of the khulafa' al-rashideen, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, and as some also add in Hassan radiallahu anhu. Al-Mahdiyin. They were the rightly guided ones. عُضُّوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِذِ. Hold on to their way with your molar teeth, subhanAllah. You know, bite on to their way. وَإِيَّاكُمْ. Point of proof. وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحْدَثَاتِ الْأُمُورِ. And beware of newly invented matters. فَإِنَّ كُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ. For verily every innovated matter is a bid'ah. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the next hadith, ألا إن من ألا إن ألا إن من قبلكم من أهل الكتاب افترقوا على 72 ملة. The people before you, the Jews, the Christians, broke up into various groupings. 72 groupings. وإن هذه الأمة, and this ummah will divide into 73. 72 في النار, 72 in the fire, and one will be in Jannah. وَهِيَ الْجَمَاعَةَ, and it is the Jama'ah. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, مَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. Whoever turns away from my sunnah is not from me. Subhanallah. يَا عَبْدَ اللَّهِ يَا أَمَتَ اللَّهِ. Ibn Abbas, حَبْرُ الْأُمَّةِ. What did he say? عَلَيْكُمْ بِاسْتِقَامَةِ. Hold on to the straight path. Be firm, be upright. Wal athar, hold on to the narrations, the texts. And he said, wa iyyakum wal bid'ah, and beware of innovated matters. Ibn Mas'ud said, ittabi'u wa la tabtadi'u. Follow but do not innovate. Faqad kufitum. What you have is enough. what you have is enough. Hassan al-Basri, the great tabi'i, what did he say? That know with regards to the muhajirin, their fadl and their virtue. وَاتَّبِعُوا آثَارِهِمْ And hold on to their way, their path, their methodology. وَإِيَّاكُمْ And beware مَا أَحْدَثَ النَّاسِ فِي دِينِهِمْ What people have invented. أَيُوبْ السِّخْتِيَانِ مَزْدَادَ صَاحِبْ بِدْعَ اِجْتِهَادًا إِلَّا ازْدَادَ مِنَ اللَّهِ بُعْدًا The person of bid'ah, he innovates and he gets tired. In reality, he's only getting further and further from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those were just a few narrations, verses of the Noble Quran, a hadith of the Rasul Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to the matters of innovation. So as we said, do not think of these matters in terms of your environment. Somebody said, this one wrote a letter, etc. Think bigger, look bigger. Jayid, we had, for example, the Khawarij, the Qadariyya, the Jahmiyya, the Mu'tazila, etc., etc. You had the ones who killed Ali, the ones who killed Uthman, radiallahu anh. You have that individual who says, Ramadan, cancel it. We'll fast when we have the holidays. You have the one who says, why only four, subhanAllah? Four wives, why only four? Let's make it 10. 10 the merrier, 10 much better. Allahu musta'an. The one who divorces his wife three times, one go, I divorce you. Haram and haram. It's a bid'ah. 100% it's a bid'ah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah. The one who divorces his wife when she's in her menses, not allowed for him to divorce her when she's in her menses. And now he goes along and he does an act which has not been legislated, a matter of bid'ah. Allahu musta'an. A little bit of history with regards to these bid'ah. So you had the Khawarij. They were this first group. They lifted up their swords. They spilled blood. Ali radiallahu ta'ala fought them at Nahrawan. You also had during the time of Umar radiallahu ta'ala and Subaykh, this individual, you know, he's asking these funny type of questions with regards to the mutashabihat of the Quran, with regards to the ambiguous verses of the Noble Quran. Umar radiallahu ta'ala took his durra, took his stick and gave him a few hits. Don't ask all of these things. We have more than enough stuff to keep you busy. Why are you bothering yourself and, you know, causing a fitna with regards to these matters? You had Ibn Saba during the time of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala saying that every prophet and every leader, he has somebody who's taking over from him when he leaves. So how come the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the best of prophets? How come he didn't leave anyone? No, he definitely left. Who did he leave? He left Ali in charge after him. Allahu musta'an. Then he mentions Isa alayhi salam. He's going to come back before the end of time. But our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is better than Isa. So if Isa's coming back, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is definitely also going to come back. Look at this, subhanallah. Allahu musta'an. You had, for example, the Khawarij, as we mentioned. And then when the Khawarij, for example, came and they were the ones who slaughtered Ali radiallahu ta'ala, then you had others who went into extremes with regards to the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you had the Shia on the other side, they went into another extreme. Then later on you had the Qadariyya, the Murji'ah, you had Ghilan al-Dimishqi, Ja'ad ibn Dirham, Jaham ibn Safwan, Wasil ibn Atta, Amr ibn Ubaid, Muqatil ibn Sulaiman, and others, and up till today, subhanAllah. And it will continue, because as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that the Muslims, they will divide. Does it mean that I, Sulaiman Ahmed Ilyas, should be part and parcel of the division? Absolutely not. You do your level best to stay upon the straight path and to decrease all types of division amongst yourself and others. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah. The next matter, point number 10, bi-iznillahi ta'ala. What's the relationship between bid'ah and maybe sin? We will touch upon that just now. But before that, what does the word bid'ah mean? The word bid'ah means something new, an innovation, something brand new, something made up, coming with something new. That's the linguistic meaning of bid'ah. It means ashay al-mukhtara', it means ala ghayri mithalin sabiq, which, you know, is something brand new, was not there before. It also means at-ta'ab wal-kalal. It also means difficulty and tiredness, etc. As for the legal definition, then for the legal definition, we need to look at certain ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We'll look at four of those ahadith. What's the question? What's the definition of bid'ah? your definition, Salim, Ilyas, Ahmed. Everybody's got their own. What's the definition of bid'ah? Let's look at four ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and from there maybe we can draw and pull and extract the correct definition. The first hadith, Irbab ibn Sariyah, wa iyyakum wa muhdathat al-umur. Who said this? Who said this? Who said this? Who said this? Our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this. Wa iyyakum wa muhdathat al-umur. Beware of newly invented matters. Fa inna kulla muhdathatin bid'ah. For every newly invented matter is a bid'ah. Wa kullu bid'atin dalala. And every bid'ah is misguidance. Hadith reported by Imam Abu Dawood. Hadith number one. We want to work out the definition of bid'ah. Let's look at these four ahadith. Hadith number two, hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah, where it mentions, "Inna asdaq al hadith kitabullah wa ahsan al hadi hadi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa sharra al umuri muhdathatuha wa kull muhdathatin bid'ah." And every newly invented matter is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is misguidance. Wa kullu dalalatin fi an-nar. And there's debate with regards to that last portion. Hadith number two. Hadith number three. Whoever innovates in our affair, then his innovation will be rejected. مَنَ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرُنَا فَهُوَ رَدْ. That's the other riwayah. So those four ahadith, inshaAllah. We've read them, the Arabic, and we've gone through the translation of these four ahadith. If you put these four ahadith down on pen, on paper, then you'll be able to extract from these four ahadith three characteristics which are shared common between these three ahadith. Number one, that the bid'ah is something new. So it's not something, you know, that's been there part of the deen. No, it's something brand new. It's something new. It's something made up. It's an innovation. That's the English. It's an innovation. That's number one. So it's an innovation. We're talking about an innovation. Number two, it has been attributed to the deen. If you innovate in, for example, the dunya, you innovate with regards to the plane, with regards to the pen, with regards to the building, with regards to paint, no issue whatsoever. But you are innovating in the deen, now that's an issue. Why? Because that's the domain of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the legislator. He sent the Prophet. Your job is to follow. Jayyid, so attributed to the deen. And number three, la yastanid ila dalil. It does not have an evidence. Now here, brothers and sisters, there's going to be a lot of debate, and there's going to be a lot of ikhtilaf. La yastanid ila dalil. It does not have any evidence. When we talk about what type of evidence, general evidence, specific evidence, etc., there's more discussion with regards to that. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we leave you, insha'Allah, with the definition of bid'ah of Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali rahimahullah, and with the definition of Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullah. Ibn Rajab, he mentions, فَكُلُّ مَنْ أَحْدَثَ شَيْئًا وَنَسَبَهُ إِلَى الدِّينِ. Whoever invents something, attributes it to the deen, and وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ أَصَلْ مِنَ الدِّينِ, and it does not have an origin in the deen, يَرْجِ إِلَيْهِ فَهُوَ ضَلَالَ, then it is misguidance. Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali. Ibn Hajar, what did he say? وَالْمُرَادْ بِقَوْلِهِ كُلُّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ. What is meant by every bid'ah is misguidance. مَا أُحْدِثَ وَلَا دَلِيلَ لَهُ مِنَ الشَّرْءِ بِطَرِيقٍ خَاصٍ وَلَا عَامٍ. That which has been invented in the deen, in the religion, in the sharia, and it does not have any specific or general evidence for it. And if anyone had to summarize this matter in, you know, one sentence, we could say, مَا أُحْدِثَ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ غَيْرِ دَلِيلٍ. Whatever is innovated in the deen without any evidence. حَيَّاكُمُ اللَّهِ. Brothers and sisters, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, we will continue our discussion the next time we meet, insha'Allah. And as was mentioned previously, no doubt this discussion, you know, can at times be a bit sensitive. This can be sensitive at times, and thus we've tried our level best to find that common denominator, that common platform between matters. Remember, there has to be some line drawn somewhere. There has to be a border. Otherwise, there would be, and there are, those who want to take the deen and throw the entire deen down the drain and make up something new with his mind. So you have Jack, or rather you have Salim, and you have Salman. They love one another. They like one another. What's the issue if they want to be together, etc.? So this man's come with this new bid'ah, mashallah, jayid, that they can be together, and the sharia should acknowledge their relationship, etc., etc. Where do we draw the line, subhanallah? Brothers and sisters, until we meet again, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us khair and barakah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us knowledge which is beneficial. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us busy with the sunnah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us in our love for the sunnah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us greater knowledge of the sunnah of the Rasul Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those who are the people of the sunnah and the people of the jama'ah. Hayyakum Allah. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka al-abdihi wa rasulihi nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.